The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Just existed year in and year out. Why can't we tackle it that way? But I'll tell you, we already know. We don't have to go 10 years to see what took place in 2014 and the years subsequent have led to this crime tsunami, in my opinion. That doesn't have to be shared by everyone. There are some out there who will use the term correlation as not causation, but what they mean is, instead of correlation, they really want to say coincidence. It's just a coincidence that while we watered down the motor vehicle theft laws, we saw a spike in motor vehicle theft such that 10 years ago we were below the national average. Now, no state in America has a higher rate of motor vehicle theft than your beloved Colorado. Can that be just pure coincidence? So my thought is we've got to tackle some of these things by creating a disincentive while also embracing the fact that rehabilitation is our ultimate goal for most of these offenders. I believe that. I want people to be rehabilitated, go back out there and start earning taxes so the Dems have more of our money to spend. But that's not the approach that they're taking to this thing. Let's get some of your input at the phone lines here. 303-696-1971. Mark, you're on the George Brockler Show. What do you think?
Well, I just had a legal question for you, I guess.
Oh, I'm no attorney, but go ahead.
Yeah, you're a heck of a attorney. Did Dolov beat the statute of limitations with this announcement?
No.
Is this a prejudice here where he can never be charged with murder?
Well, two different questions. So statute of limitations, no, not an issue. The prejudice part is different. And if he gets past a certain part in the proceedings, prejudice attaches. I don't think that happened here. But again, that's the argument that would be made if they tried to breathe life back into this case. The problem is Beth didn't leave the door ajar for a future prosecution. Had she just said, hey, we lack the ability, in my opinion, to prove his guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. That's one thing because of the current evidence. Or if she said, I don't know that I have a reasonable likelihood of success at trial, you could say, okay, if there's more evidence. She actually came out in her press release because she didn't answer questions to the media or the public face-to-face, she said, I believe him. I believe him that he acted in self-defense and that Lee Keltner was the criminal. Lee Keltner verbally assaulted, that's menacing, him, and then physically assaulted him.
Yeah, but he's a hired gun. I mean, that's like saying you can be disrupt the peace of a peace officer. You know, that's so backwards. It's so crazy.
What do you think is wrong with our system? When you look at these things, are these like one-offs or are these part of a broader narrative about our criminal justice system? And you've got the mayor of Pickleball Town, you've got Dolov, you've got this crime report. Mark, what's going on?
It's a ideological driven agenda where they have unequal application of the law, and it destroys everything. At the same time, I don't think it's a good idea to have robocops out there that give you a speeding ticket at every light or a monitor in your car to you give yourself a speeding ticket. I think they need to have a human factor in there, and the human factor just gets twisted absolutely backwards. I don't know.
I don't
want to live around people anymore.
I think what you're saying is, and there's two sides to this, and you've kind of highlighted both of them, is that this is a matter of discretion, you know, between human beings that are working with or governing other human beings. And on the one hand, we have discretion that is exercised by the district attorney in choosing whether to pursue charges against the mayor of Pickleball Town or to pursue a case against an armed guy that shouldn't have been, that shot a dude 3 feet away from him armed with bear spray by shooting him in the face, killing him, right? Like, that's a matter of discretion. The other part of the discretion, though, is stuff that we've taken away from the street cops. And we had a caller earlier, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, who's a street cop, who said, I don't have a lot of wiggle room in some of these things. Like, when I get called out to something and I see I got to write a report, I got to take it to the detective has a little more discretion. But for matters of liability and other things, we got to continue to push this thing through the system. We've lost the ability, on one end, to exercise discretion. On the other, we look at it and go, my God, why did you exercise discretion that way?
And then you know, that's just what happens. You get some case of incompetence where somebody won't either exercises way too much discretion or not enough. And then you got even more incompetence that this city employee that can't wipe a marker off of a floor. And that's just his job, apparently, is maintenance of some kind.
He apparently didn't go to the Mark Crowley School of Stain Removal.
How did that guy get written up for incompetence? I don't know.
Well, my guess is what they're going to say is we would not have undergone those floor-damaging remedial efforts had this guy not used permanent marker on the floor. But it sounds like they acted in a great deal of haste. And had they just YouTubed this thing or called up Mark Crowley or apparently anybody else. I mean, the texts on the Peter Boyle's wall here are blown up with suggestions. And everybody seems to have known this thing except me. Someone else said baby wipes. I asked Mark if he could go get the baby wipes he keeps in the trunk of his car with all the kids' toys. And he said, no, he's out of it. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't. We just thought that would be super awkward. But you're right to bring that up. When you look at the when you hear Mitch Morrissey talk about what's going on in terms of the crime rate and stuff, what do you chalk that up to?
Like I said, they won't prosecute a crime if they think somebody is a drug addict. If somebody is just trying to go about their everyday business and earn a living, they'll go out if they got a weed that's too tall in their yard and come after them. And I don't know why, I don't know where that attitude comes from. They'll use every ounce of discretion against a fentanyl dealer that'll cooperate. But the, you know, somebody that gave their friend an aspirin in high school, well, they want to file charges. I don't understand where it comes from.
Our system has, I think, lost its way in that what it's supposed to do. And it's not that the other side of this conversation cares more than we do, although that's the message they want to send, or that they're more interested in rehabilitation than we are. I don't think that's true either, because they suck at it more than we do. And you can just see that based on the numbers, the reoffend numbers. But I think what they've done is this is a group of people who have been against the man, against law enforcement for one reason or another for years. And now they find themselves in a position to act on it. And even though they don't see it as anti-law enforcement, it is. They've taken discretion away from police and put them on their heels by creating personal liability for the mistakes they make. They're taking away discretion from the only accountable person in the criminal justice system, that's elected prosecutors, and pushed more of it either into automatic functions of the law or to judges who are largely unaccountable to the public. The system has the right tools in place, but they keep getting taken away or diminished. Mark, hey, I really appreciate the conversation. Mark's line is open, 303-696-1971. You are king or queen for a day. How do you fix this criminal justice system to address the mayor of Pickleball Town, to address the Matt Doloff thing, and to address the overall crime tsunami that we are awash in? When we come back, your calls, your texts, you, me, George Brockler. Little Gwen Stefani, no doubt. 710 KNUS, George Brockler, right back with you. Our phone line's 303-696-1971. Lots of text today talking about this mayor of Pickleball Town or Pickletown, or I can't remember what the hell it is, but it's an awesome story because it really highlights what's going on here in society, specifically related to the exercise of discretion in the criminal justice system. And we've had some great calls, great texts here. It sounds like someone says this sounds like the perfect episode for Parks and Rec. I agree with you. They could make it funny, but it's a little sad if you're the 71-year-old there. I said it again, the 71-year-old guy who used the permanent marker on this thing. It says, what about all the people who graffitied the Capitol? Did they have to pay for the damages they did? You know, there's a number out there of the hundreds of different vandals and criminal mischievers that are out there. Only a handful, a relative handful, were ever prosecuted through the system. And that's a great question, how that ended up. I don't know if you know this, but there's an exception in the law for if the reason you did it was acceptable to the left, it's not actually a crime. It can be forgiven. And so, for instance, if you're shooting at people on a highway and you're from the woke left, not a crime. If you shoot at people and you are a conservative, of course, you're in real trouble here.
Yeah, you're right, George, because we all know that when liberals commit crimes. It's because they were forced to.
That's right.
They
were
forced into the action. So something in the society had done something so horrible to them, so impactful, so harmful, there was only one choice, the crime.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how they sell it to you.
They were forced into doing it.
Yes, not their fault. No personal responsibility.
Yeah, it turns out, though, that at least at the macro level, Billy, we can take a look at this report from CommonSenseInstituteCO.org and see that there are other potential explanations for why crime is surging here. And if you'll notice, it's not a partisan issue. If you listen to that interview with Mitch Morsi in the last hour, and if you haven't, go to the podcast and listen to that thing. It'll be up later this morning. Mitch goes out of his way, and I agree with him. It is not a purely partisan issue. It is a mostly partisan issue, but it's not a purely partisan issue. Republicans and Democrats, for their own political ideological reasons, have gotten in bed together on this issue. And I was going to say they've gotten into bed together, but we're the ones that end up getting screwed. Nonetheless, they changed the laws to make it more offender friendly. You have seen very few bills in the last 6, 7, 8, 10 years that are focused on protecting or preventing victims, right?
Yeah, and I think you're right. And I think part of the problem and some of the tough roads that the conservatives have had is they have done a very poor job at highlighting that. They've tried, but the messaging has been really difficult for a number of reasons. One being lack of friendly outlets, but some other stuff that makes it very difficult. But they really needed to lean into the idea of, like you and Mitch did, connecting those dots and showing here are the choices, and based on these choices, here are the results we are getting. Now, are you happy and satisfied with the results, or does something have to change?
Let me ask you, Billy, since you're on with me at the moment here, and usually I only get to banter with you in the early parts of the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah, much to the joy of the audience. Yes.
Yes. But I want to ask you, I want to get your opinion on this. The mayor of Pickleball Town, right? This case, you helped us pull off the in-studio demonstration with Mark Crowley and the Pens and all that other stuff. When you look at this thing, what do you do with this guy?
This is a difficult one because I understand it. I'm not a person that wants to say, understand what the person was going through. There are some rules and there are some laws that govern the fact that you can't just take out a Sharpie at a local recreation center and draw on the floor. However, when the remedy at the other end, when, you know, the rec center comes in to clean up the mess and ends up making it worse, that I have a problem with. So I think there should be some sort of a remuneration or punishment for the actual crime of drawing on the floor. But the repair of the floor, in my estimation at this point, and again, I'm an idiot, so I'm like two steps above a talking cabbage.
That's three.
Maybe three, if I'm lucky, on a good day. That when the rec center comes in and when their repair makes it worse, then I've got a problem because it's not like they asked the pickleball mayor, what did he want to do? They didn't ask him, hey, do you have any cleaning products? Come over here on a Saturday and clean this up. They didn't even hand him the cleaning products and say, would you do this? He was removed from the cleaning process and then holding him responsible for the results of that process.
That is true.
I think is
that
wrong.
Is true.
I think that's a real problem. And I think you're right when you say the rec center was a little too aggressive with how quickly they wanted to clean this up and they made some bad decisions. And he should not be on the hook for their bad decisions, just like the rec center shouldn't be on the hook for the pickleball mayor's bad decisions.
Yeah.
So that I think
my guess is too.
Here.
They didn't call the police until after they destroyed their own property, right?
Yeah.
Like if it had wiped up, I imagine they don't do anything. But then when they ruined it, they're like, "Who's going to pay for that?"
Yeah, I bet $1,000 because what happens is
make it $10.
Yeah, until then, because $1,000 bet, that's what happened because I don't think they view this as a significant crime until they can't clean it up. Then all of a sudden it gets to the point of, oh my gosh, this is a significant crime. And especially if they wipe off the sealant on the floor, that comes out of their budget. Now they have to solve the budgetary problem. The easiest thing to do, arrest the dude that they say created the
getting
problem.
Getting a warrant for this guy?
That's
ridiculous. A warrant? Doesn't this feel like at most a summonsable offense? And he had to go in and get a PR bond? Like, the mayor of Pickleball Town is going to flee to some other place, like the mayor of Ping Pong.
I keep imagining
he's going to go live there.
Yeah, exactly. Like you know, in like a Nightmare Before Christmas, there's like Christmas Town and Halloween Town, and yeah, Easter Town, same thing. He's going to go from Pickleball Town to Ping Pong Town.
The Volleyballville.
Exactly. Hey, at least they dress better there. But the idea that I've got, and lots of tans.
Hello.
Yeah. The issue that I've got is, okay, the policeman. How bad of a day do you have as a policeman when you have to go out and execute a warrant on a 71-year-old man over
Well, I guess he goes and turns himself in, but when you're generating this thing, and we heard that street cop call in and say had to give it to a detective, I imagine the detective is sitting there in a city that has historic rates of homicide and sits there and looks at this and goes, come on, really?
Exactly. I mean, it's as if it's as if when the mayor turns himself in, it's as if the, you know, someone went over to the radio and went, psh, attention all units, yes, we can pull down that APB for the pickleball mayor. Psh, yes, we've got him.
I just picture being some sort of TV-like moment where somebody comes on the overhead and says, hey, there's another shooting out here at blank, and dude goes, hey, you guys go get it. I got to finish up the mayor of Pickleball Town.
Yeah.
Because he marked up on the floor. The question I have for listeners as well, though, and we started this in the other hour, was does your opinion of this change depending upon what it is he wrote on the court? So had this guy written on there profanity, right? It's a 71-year-old dude, but it's not any, it has nothing to do with pickleball. Yeah, instead, he writes like, F the deputy parks and rec manager.
Or let's say he does what the middle schoolers near my house do on the Greenbelt walkway, and they use chalk. No, they use chalk or paint to creatively express certain parts of the human body. Let's just do it that way.
Is it feet?
No, go a little more north.
Yeah. Knees. I hate that.
Yeah, so annoying when it's just the knees. Yeah, so if he was drawing something like that, then yeah, maybe, but I don't know. I don't know about that.
But so does that change it? Let's say that this guy does that, and now same reaction from the Parks and Rec people. They come in, they bring their solvent. Do we then go, oh, now you should be on the hook for it? I mean, how much does this change based on how likable or innocent or benign we think this guy is? If you find out that this guy, and he's not, okay, I don't know this to be true, you find out this guy is a recently paroled child molester and he does this, and it's going to revoke him off of his parole. Do you go, booyah, baby? That's right, man. You cross the line, you go back, because we don't like him? Or what if he's a guy who's just this surly, grumpy old man who confronts the staff? It turns out they're like, this was the most horrible interaction we've had with a member of the public ever, right? What if that happens? Do we then go, well, jerk got what he deserved? Or do we still do the analysis from the standpoint of, it's really the Parks and Rec staff who bungled this whole thing, and we forgive this guy?
And we had a caller off the air that very intelligently wanted to remind us that just recently the mayor of Denver's son got a job with Denver Parks and Rec. So, I don't know, maybe you know, he could be involved in coming to the table and starting peace talks. And okay, I'm being facetious.
Yeah, but I think someone had actually texted in the last hour or two that they were like, maybe it was the mayor's son who was actually the one who picked out the solvent to use to try to clean up the ink.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, that maybe it was his choice.
I think John Martinez is the name of the deputy manager for Parks and Rec, the Amy Poehler character in Parks and Rec. And he apparently would not meet with the attorney for the 71-year-old guy, wouldn't discuss any alternatives and just let the criminal justice system handle it. I wonder, too, if our opinion of this doesn't change, if this guy, it's not profanity, but now, and maybe this makes it a different kind of crime, but it's a racial epithet. Or what if it's graffiti? Like, what if it's graffiti and he draws on it and he says, dang, I really thought it would wipe up. I didn't know it wouldn't, but I can use Mark Crowley's special Expo marker trick and make it go away. Do we feel differently? What if it's not a 71-year-old man, but it's some 15-year-old hooligan or some gang member, and they do the same thing? Does our opinion of how this thing should turn out change based on those things? Why or why not? I mean, to some extent, it shouldn't when it comes to, did he intend to cause damage? And if this guy says, for the love of God, I thought turkeys could fly, As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. Or I thought the Sharpie would wipe right up. Then did he knowingly create criminal mischief damage? And certainly not to the tune of $10,000. Keep in mind, if you create any damage to someone else's property, even a penny's worth, it's a misdemeanor, right? Like, I think it's a third-class misdemeanor. That's punishable by up to 6 months in the county jail, but you'd never get that. So it's all value-driven. But what if he'd done that? What do we then say about this thing? And then again, we're now at a place where I can't, if I'm the DA on this, and I know that this guy has no criminal history, and I hear about this story, and I listen to that wingnut Brockler on the radio wailing away on it, and all the people that are showing up in the text and at 303-696-1971 calling in, they're doing all that stuff. I think I rush to get rid of this thing. Because, by the way, you can't do deferred prosecution anymore. That was another tool that the We Know Best legislature took away from us some years ago. I think they did it while I was the district attorney. And they said, no, no, that can be abused too much. We don't want you to have deferred prosecution. So it's not like you can say, hey, listen, man, I'm just going to hang on to these charges. Go take care of this thing in some way and we'll get rid of it. I still even think that's probably too much. This feels to me like a civil thing, not a criminal thing.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to think that there was a criminal motivation behind what he was doing. Now, when we get to the realm of graffiti or racial epithets or something vulgar, then I think you can get to the idea that you're intending to cause or you're intending this kind of a response. And so I think intent is a little stronger there than
I want to play pickleball.
I don't think that that's necessary. And if we were talking about the gang members and guys that are, you know, not necessarily the most upstanding people inside the community, but if they made marks on a court to play basketball, or maybe they're pickleball enthusiasts, I'm not as, you know, upset as if they were marking gang symbols and doing other stuff on that type of a court. So for me, the intent is very important in the conversation.
I think, too, though, that, you know, you combine all these things together, you run this thread through here, and there is one where you see this latest fentanyl bill drop from, and again, bipartisan, right? And I teased this before, and I will tell you going into this next break here, but and I'll give you more details. This thing is creating fissures between law enforcement and prosecutors and prosecutors and prosecutors. It will be very interesting to see if the District Attorney's Council can muster either unanimous vote or consent to move forward with an endorsement of this law, even though I know the executive director, who's a super guy, great guy, one of the best, and a former elected DA himself, if he can move forward saying, and he helped draft this thing in some ways, or at least negotiated for it, whether or not he can say CDAC backs this, because the old policy was when I was the DA, if any DA out of the 22, and we have 22 right now, we'll have 23 in 2025, that's a lot of 20s, if any one of those DAs said, I strongly object, then the policy has been CDAC won't endorse. Well, we know from the column that was in the Denver Gazette yesterday, and we talked to Michael Allen about it, that two DAs representing one third of the population of the state of Colorado are both opposed to this bill in its current form. And this isn't burn it to the ground, politics above all, it doesn't matter what you do, we're never going to give you a win here. That's not it. This bill can be fixed. This bill needs to be fixed, but you have Republican DAs and Democrat DAs who are coming out in favor of this thing. Even some of the Democrat DAs who support it have voiced concerns about the fact that we do nothing to address the fentanyl piece, leading us to this idea that we're really trying to come up with laws that are arguably a little more aggressive and punitive of, on crimes, but not on criminals. And that we're creating this forgiveness environment, this permissive sort of rehabilitation above all environment, as if that's the problem that we see in the criminal justice system. And then you look at the mayor of Pickleball Town, and this guy's at the front end of a system that apparently doesn't care about forgiveness or rehabilitation. They just want to get him in the door. So this 71-year-old man, I'm going to presume he has nothing going on in his history, goes to bed last night on a personal recognizance bond, promising to come to court under threat of losing his freedom, facing the possibility that if he can't get this negotiated away or doesn't agree to do something the DA orders him to do, guy could end up going to trial and becoming a convicted felon. And yet on the other side, you can carry around 4 grams of fentanyl, enough to kill 2,000 people. We're not going to arrest you. We're going to give you a summons to come to court. You'll never have to face a bond until you miss court 3 times. And at the end of the day, no sentence that we give you will likely result in you losing 1 minute of your freedom.
Well, at least they didn't have a Sharpie. You know, that's very dangerous.
Well, I wonder if these guys were huffers on Sharpies, if we would treat them as mercifully. But there's something going on here. And this bill, this fentanyl bill, is highlighting a real rift. I'm going to talk to you some more about the politics of what goes on the, at least on the prosecution side, without specific reference to this bill. And then we'll make specific reference to this bill. But this is a real fissure here in the criminal justice community. Chiefs of police, the sheriffs of the state of Colorado, and at least two strong-willed DAs oppose this bill. But the rest of the system seems to be in favor of it. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to go print off something, too. I got a statement here, I think, from the chiefs of police. I want to get that, and I'll read that thing to you here. But this bill is creating issues not only under the Gold Dome, but in the law enforcement community. We'll talk with you about it at 303-696-1971. And, of course, as you know, you can always text the show from the app. I listen to the show on the app when I'm in the car because the sound is just so awesome. But you can also listen to us at 710KNUS.com. That's also the place to go, by the way. And I don't want to leave this show today without telling you, 1 week from this moment, you'll be hearing the sultry tones of the godfather of talk radio out here, Peter Boyles, because April 1st is the swan song for his Monday through Friday show, 5 to 10 a.m. You can be there in person, 7 to 10 a.m. at the View House in Centennial. Go buy the tickets. They're only $15. 710KNUS.com. I'll be right back with you in just a moment. My name's George. I'm not filling in for anyone right now. It's the George Brockler Show on 710KNUS.
.org, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
News Talk 710 Ukraine update.
CBS News special report. President Biden in Poland.
How are you?
Mr. President, nice to meet you.
Meeting and sharing pizza with U.S. troops who are helping reinforce NATO's eastern flank as Russia pounds away at Ukraine.
Democracy is going to prevail, and the values we share, or autocracy is going to prevail. And that's really what's at stake. So what you're doing is consequential.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
President Biden will meet with Poland's president, get an update on the humanitarian response as the Biden administration and European allies are taking new steps to respond to the growing crisis.
Ukraine, CBS's Holly Williams tells us.
Ukrainian forces say they're close to recapturing Irpin, around 14 miles north of Kyiv. The Russian assault has torn this place to shreds.
And officials in southern Ukraine now say about 300 people were killed in that Russian attack on a movie theater in Mariupol that was being used as a shelter. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
Watch for some residual slowing from an earlier center lane stall southbound I-25 at Arapahoe Road. Jam back traffic to around Orchard or so, although it is quickly improving. I-25 overall is a good drive, so is 225 and I-70. On the tollway, there is some police investigation work going on E-470 near 56th Avenue. Watch for some flashing lights and possible lane closures in that area. Now out to the west side, things look good through Lakewood on 6th Avenue. I'm Chris McLaughlin.
This report is sponsored by Compassion International.
The last 2 years have been devastating to kids in poverty. You can help when you sponsor a child with Compassion International. Get started by texting the word radio to 97646.
Partly cloudy to mostly sunny and very mild and spring-like. Temperatures all the way to the mid to upper 60s today. The weekend is going to be very spring-like, very nice. A mix of high cloudiness with sun, very warm, with 70s Saturday, Sunday, and probably 70s Monday, nights 30s and 40s. Colder weather, though, areas of rain and snow move back in by Tuesday.
Had a moment that has replayed itself almost every day, and that is somebody, Geronimo or Billy, will yell out how much time is left, and I don't agree, and it sounds a little bit like this.
How much time? 30 seconds. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
That is a daily occurrence. You have 30 seconds. It's either I don't believe you or I don't agree. Listen, phone line is 303-696-1971. We have callers on the line, but we do have a line open. You use it. Also, tons of great texts. Here's someone asking, is this malicious prosecution? Not yet. And I don't think it is. I mean, I think there's probable cause here. But that is such a low bar for the exercise of discretion. This thing should not be on autopilot. I'm not sure it should have ever been filed, but we may have taken enough discretion away from the decision makers on the ground, that's our detectives and our police, that they don't feel like they can do anything other than just send it on to the DA. Bob, you're on 710 KNUS, the George Brockler Show. What do you think, Bob?
Well, George, I've been in the paint and coating business for over 40 years. I've seen a lot of different things. The first thing that they should have done, this is such an overreaction, the very first thing, and nobody ever does it, is read the directions. The directions will tell you.
And the directions on the substance that they use that made the real damage, that stuff?
Well, first of all, you should – I'm not so sure you have to start by what you're putting on there. But if you see it's on there and needs to be taken off, whatever remover that you're going to use, you've got to look at the directions. And it will always tell you to take a very small spot and see if that's going to damage the finish on it. That's the very first thing. That's just so basic to do. So read the directions first on that. And there are so many different removers that you can use. Some will damage the surface, some won't. Just like latex paint. Don't use anything to take latex, something off of latex paint that has denatured alcohol in it.
Why? What is that? What happens?
It will soften it up. It will dull the surface. I don't care if the latex paint has been on there for 40 years. You use something that has denatured alcohol in it, it will remove that finish. It will dull it immediately. Immediately. You know, some of the solvents, I'm sure what they've got, or some of the finishes, I'm sure what was on this floor, is probably a solvent-based finish. So they're impervious to a lot of things, but not everything. Lacquer thinner is one that will go ahead and take the finish off. The problem with this whole thing to me is that did they go ahead and try to remove every single mark on the floor before they saw what damage was caused?
No, they should have done it. I don't think so. But Bob, you sound like a regular Bob, like a regular dude out there. So let me ask, as you listen to this thing, two big questions. One, if you're king of the day, you're king of pickleball town, right? This is the mayor, right?
Yeah.
King of pickleball town. What do you do with this guy? I mean, is there any role for the criminal justice system in addressing this guy? And if so, what is it? What do you do with it? And then the second thing is, what the hell is going on out there with the criminal justice system? When you think about this case and Doloff and the fentanyl bill and the crime report, what is going on? How do we fix it?
Well, I think it's just a complete overreaction. The guy didn't do anything on purpose. Maybe he should not have tried to but they gave him, I think, the marker to go ahead and do this to begin with.
They gave him the marker. I'm presuming he didn't say, hey, I'm just going to go quick draw something up on the court. If he did and they gave it to him, it's over, right? It's over.
Well, and the thing is what happened to the floor, obviously, there's a film thickness. So the mill thickness has been compromised, and that's why you probably see a dull spot on the floor. But you can go ahead and refinish those areas. No, it's not going to be perfect. It will only be perfect when they finally strip the floor and redo
it. I think that's what they want to do. They want to do $10,000 and on this dude's back.
Well, that will be at some point. I mean, it's in the budget, but right now, just I mean, listen, it's a frickin' basketball court. Yeah. How is this causing anybody any commotion and problem? What is there dribbling the ball? They're
well,
seeing
from my standpoint, it could affect my game, and I'm playing such a level that if there was.
You know what? You know what? What affects my game is I'm 5'8". I'm a bald white guy who's 71 years old. That's what affects my game. But I'll tell you,
have you thought about shifting to pickleball?
You know what? I'm too old to do any of that.
You're
stuff
not. The mayor of Pickleball Town is 71.
Well, that's right. I have no interest. If I do anything, I play golf, and that's about it. And I don't do that very good anymore.
Ball. I got it.
But yeah, but you know what? I mean, just so what? Is it really that distracting to people that? Oh my God! I don't even want to go to that gymnasium anymore because. There's a couple of flat spots there.
Yeah.
You know what? Get over it.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, use it as a teaching moment. Whoever was in charge there, number one, should know to read directions, number one. And there's so many different types.
The key to that, Bob, is what you're saying is, and I think that, you know, we've had this expressed a lot on the phone, on the air, on text, and that is the real damage to the court wasn't from the Sharpie. It was from the dudes or dudettes who ended up burning a hole into, and again, nobody wants their thickness compromised, but compromising the thickness on the thing on the floor, the film thickness.
Yeah, well, and you can go ahead and refinish those areas. No, it won't be perfect, but you can rebuild the film thickness. I mean, there's plenty of ways. There's plenty of ways to do that. And you can go ahead and spread it out to where it's a larger area. You won't even hardly notice. And once you start putting tennis shoes on the floor and all of that, and who cares?
Bob,
Would
you feel differently about this guy if he weren't a 71-year-old dude like you, you know, young and stuff, but he was a gangbanger or some total a-hole? Would that change your opinion about this case?
Well, I think it would change my opinion because I think the intent would have been completely different.
You would have presumed something worse for this guy,
right? To go ahead and just make the pickleball court, you know, what it should be, and it's easier to define the lines on it. But somebody that you, if you want to describe as a gangbanger or something like that, they're purposely going in to
That's the presumption, right? We're presuming that. We're not going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but we'll give this guy the benefit of the doubt.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's where lawyers get involved in it. I know what's right and I know what's wrong. I know
see. That's it right there. You have a sense of right and wrong and justice, and doesn't it feel like, at least with some of the stories from this week, that our system has lost sight of that?
Oh, my gosh. In so many different places in this world, and so many different things. What we are so concerned about anymore is something we should just kind of shake off. And then some other things we can't even decide really what is right and what's wrong. It's so disheartening. It's so disheartening that we as a people can't agree on hardly anything anymore.
Bob, the disagreement part is okay as long as it doesn't turn into that personal combative attack kind of vitriol that we see. But let me ask you in relation to the right and wrong thing, because I really do think you've hit on something here. Had you followed this Doloff case with Lee Keltner?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Okay, now, does that feed into that discussion for you, that right and wrong, and what happened there?
Well, it does. I mean, all I can do is just as an observer. I just kind of take a look at things, and I see things, and I go, okay. I look at it and I can see right and wrong in my own mind. I mean, there are so many gray areas that compromise just facts. And so I saw a guy who went ahead and they were having a confrontation. He pulls out some spray and gets shot in the head with a gun by a guy who is not licensed to carry a firearm, and we're going to let it go.
Not just let it go, but act like it never ever happened.
I've heard and I agree with this. I kind of take things on as I see them, and if this was a black guy that would have gotten shot by an unlicensed security guard.
Or by Lee Keltner.
Right.
Or by Lee Keltner. Had he been
Can you imagine what would have happened? I mean, this whoever would have been looking at least 20 to 30 years in prison.
I want to believe that that's not the case. I want to believe that because I just don't want these folks, and I will give them the benefit of the doubt that when they said ethically we don't think we can win, I get that. The part I don't get is how do you come to the conclusion that Lee Keltner's the criminal and that Matthew Doloff was completely justified? It is one thing to say I can't disprove it. It's another thing to say I buy it, man. I buy it. This dude was engaged in total self-defense when he pulled first, shot first. I don't know, man. It's interesting. But the right and wrong thing, you've really hit upon something here, and that is it feels more and more like our criminal justice system has lost its way when it comes to the very basics of right and wrong.
It's got to fit the narrative of whoever is making that judgment. And you know, again, to me, I know right, I know wrong. I know black, I know white. And sometimes that's just the way it is.
Great call, Bob. Thank you for that. Thanks for the advice, too, on cleaning up the floor stuff as well. Look, when we come back, we'll have just this one last segment to talk with you at 303-696-1971. And then I'll punch out, and I won't see you again until next Monday. So get those phones fired up until that time. George Brockler on The George Brockler Show, 710 KNUS. With a little love. Yeah, that's not actually the... Well, very close. Didn't it sound like it was the record skipping? It was the same voice twice, George Brockler, here on 710 KNUS.
It's such a weird sounding voice.
Yeah, he's got... Hootie has a tremendous voice. Now, of course, he's crossed over to country and Western.
Yeah, and he he does both of them.
Yeah, he does at the same time. Exactly.
Yeah, phenomenal. I've met him. He's a really good guy, and he really does enjoy the country.
What the heck is Hootie's name? And I know this,
Darius Rucker.
Oh God, Darius Rucker. Yeah, man. Dude's been doing it at that level for such a long time. Love that.
Yep.
Listen, we've been talking about the crime thing, Mayor of Pickleball Town. I do want to give you this. There is a media release that has been issued by the County Sheriffs of Colorado. That's the organization that represents, wait for it, the sheriffs. The elected sheriffs of Colorado, and there's 62 of them, 64 counties, two don't elect, Denver, Broomfield. Everyone else is elected by the peeps. And then the Colorado Association of Chiefs of Police, CACP, they're not elected by anyone. Police get appointed by either the town manager, the city manager, the mayor, the board, you know, the town council, somebody else. But they're accountable to another person in government, not directly to the people. Nonetheless, the both of them have gotten together, along with the Colorado Fraternal Order of Police, a completely consensual in terms of joining organization that represents, God, I don't know what their numbers are, but I'm guessing thousands upon thousands of law enforcement officers from across the state of Colorado. They have all come out to oppose the current version of this fentanyl bill. And in this language of this release, they say things that are just common sense-y, like, there is no safe amount of fentanyl. Just 0.02 of a gram can cause immediate death. One pill can, and by the way, I'll say this for them, and has routinely killed or at least led to overdose that requires some sort of medical intervention. And remember, the focus of this bill is less on discouraging addiction than to trying to save addicts from themselves. So these fentanyl strips that are built into this, they're not for law enforcement. When the governor said that, that was laugh out loud silly. Those fentanyl strips are for drug users to be able to test the pills they're about to pop to make sure that they know if they have fentanyl in them. And I got to tell you, even if it showed up on there, I'm not convinced the addict wouldn't go, I'm willing to roll the dice. The naloxone, that's not to prevent addiction or to prevent acquiring the drugs. That's to save the life of the person who ignored the strip and took the pill with the fentanyl in it, and it led to their overdose. Neither of those things, and these are what addiction experts will tell you, neither of those things do a single bit of good in deterring addiction or addressing it. Now, yes, would I love to have people stay alive long enough to go through that process? I would. But this bill isn't focused on that. Remember, the rehabilitative parts of this thing only attach if you get brought into the system and usually in custody. Well, because they kept the possession of up to 4 grams of fentanyl, which can kill 2,000 Coloradans, a misdemeanor, you ain't going to jail. No jail, no bond. No jail, no bond, no immediately going to court to have rehabilitation forced upon you. I don't know why this isn't obvious to everyone, but I'm telling you that right now the District Attorney's Council is going to struggle over this because there are 22 electeds. Any one of them can stick up their hand and say, I absolutely oppose us taking a position on this, like the death penalty. Right? CDC hasn't taken a position on the death penalty for many years because there were people like Stan Garnett or Beth or someone else who, for very genuine, legitimate reasons, opposed the death penalty. Great. But now you've got a whole bunch of DAs, including the DA from the 13th. That's the 7 most northeastern counties in the state of Colorado. There's about 200 people that live there. But he's come out. He's fully in favor of this. The DA from Weld County is a great Republican, great prosecutor, fully in favor of this. Democrat DAs across the spectrum, all fully in favor of this. But you got the guys that represent a third of all Coloradans, Kellner and Allen, 18th and 4th Judicial, coming out and opposing this. And so do you know what the discussions are? And this isn't specific to this bill. This has been going on since the levers of government were all in the hands of one party. They say, man, you know what? If we don't agree to get on board with this dumpster fire of legislation, they could bring us 3 dumpster fires in one piece of legislation, in one bill. We've got to minimize the damage and hop on this, or we're going to be stuck with the status quo, which is ridiculous. What a fake argument. Or we're going to be stuck with something much worse. What about the idea that at some point, out of principle, you say, I don't think you're doing this right. I will not be a party to it. Whether it's going to be forced on me or not, I will not put my name on this piece of legislation. But that's not what it is. I mean, in many ways, this is the equivalent of someone comes to you and says, here's a giant plate of crap, and you're going to have to eat it. And then you say, I'd do half a plate. What about just saying, not hungry, not interested? In fact, I don't want a plate that's had that on it, let alone eat half of it. That's some folks will call that pragmatism. That's just weak sauce, man. At some point in a bill that is supposed to address this epidemic of death, 2 Coloradans a day, my God. We got to do something more than this. And the chiefs of police have staked out a position here in opposition to those who sponsor this thing. Doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat at all. The other thing you got to know about this is they want to say, we've created extra tough, super tough laws on people that deal fentanyl that result in the death of somebody. Do you know how infrequently we can identify the source of the drugs that killed the person? I mean, it's like needle in a haystack stuff. Are there going to be a couple anecdotes out there? Sure. Is this going to do anything to address? Not at all. Not a single thing. We have left alone the person or the people that are most responsible for the fentanyl trade, and that is the low-level consumer, the addict. We've done nothing to help them or discourage them. And instead, we've created this false sense of, we're just so super tough. When we find out where that pill came from, we're going to hold that person. No, you're not. Not going to ever happen. And this idea that we've created, did you know this? That if you're the drug dealer and you give pills out at a party and you look around the room and go, my God, there's 10 dead people here, or 5 in Adams County. If you pick up the phone and call the police and out yourself and say, hey, you ought to come up here. It looks like there's some real problems with the pills I've distributed. You are immune from prosecution for killing them with that fentanyl. You cannot be charged with that distribution leading to death charge. What kind of system is that? This isn't a carrot and a stick. This is a hug and a handshake. This doesn't make any sense at all. Now, listen, before we go, I only have a couple minutes left. This topic isn't going to go away, by the way. The lines are being drawn between law enforcement officials, independent of party, right? Independent of party. This bill is really highlighting that issue right now. And heck, I don't know what impact it could have on CDAC long term. That's the District Attorney's Council. But my guess is there's some heated discussions and votes ahead. I hope they can all stick together because that's a wonderful organization. Big, big fan of it. Used to be in charge of it a long time ago. There's 2 podcasts I want to tell you about. One, I talked to you yesterday about first name basis. Proud of that. Proud of trying, instead of to attack the character or personality of someone, the individual foibles, to really get to know folks that we might disagree with on a policy level. Ed, the first episode is Ed. It's Congressman Ed Perlmutter from the 7th, 8th term congressman not running for reelection. My understanding from Mark is even though it launched yesterday, you can't find it on Apple and you can't find it on Spotify yet because it takes 24 hours for it to gin up and get popular there. Had a ton of people reach out and text, flattered with that. Please find it, listen to it, give me your feedback. You can hit me with the email on the 710knus.com webpage. When it says email the show, you're just emailing me, man, on my Salem email. So just hit me there with your thoughts on it, good, bad, or otherwise. Mostly good, but good, bad, or otherwise. And then share it with your friends, subscribe to it, keep this thing going. The other podcast that launched this week, and we've now got 9 episodes of this, is the Advanced Colorado Rundown. This is the behind the scenes, kind of under the gold dome look at what's going on and how these policies could directly impact you. It's a very short podcast, usually 20 or 25 minutes, by the super smart Michael Fields and the super entertaining some guy named George or something, but combined, we can really get some good information out there. And we've had great feedback on that too. So listen to the Advanced Colorado Rundown. You look that up, you find that one. It's been out there for, oh my God, we're coming up on 2.5 months now since the legislative session started. We've even had the DEA assistant special agent in charge. We had him on, Dave Oleski. He does a great job. Another discussion of the fentanyl thing that we've talked about. Next week, hard to know what's going to happen this weekend, but next week we're going to talk more with you about some of these things that are still lingering out there. I want to talk about this proposal too next week that California and the Democrats have proposed, and that is to send you checks, people, $100 a head in your household, per dependent, per you. Maybe for my family, $600 they want to send to offset the soaring cost of gasoline and energy. Of course, we know it's Putin's fault. Oh, wait, it's not Putin's fault, but that's who Biden gives up credit for. I want to have people on. I'm going to reach out to Kathleen Sagama, maybe Dan Haley from the energy sector to talk about that. That's going to be funded through some sort of windfall profit tax. Interested to see their input on that. This weekend, by the way, it's new baseball weekend. Looking forward to it. Great weather. 75 tomorrow, 77. That's Lyle Alzado's number. 77 on Sunday. I get to watch my boy play three separate games out at Danny Schaefer Park starting tomorrow. I hope I get to see you there as well. Until that time, man, you are talking to me. We've got just about another minute left on this show. I want to thank Billy Behind the Glass, Mitch Morrissey, for coming in and talking to us about that fantastic report. And listen, and Pete called it this, and it's true. Little bit of a vanity thing because I'm a co-author on the report, okay? But go out there and look at it. It's Common Sense Institute, C-O, all one word, traditional spelling, .org. But here's something else cooler you can do. Go to the website and figure out how to come to Tuesday's Eggs and the Economy. It's a combination of apparently poultry products and a discussion of the economy. Next Tuesday's conversation is going to be, spoiler alert, about this report. I'll be there. Chief Pazin from the Denver Police will be there. Mitch Morrissey with the best hair in prosecution, he will be there. And if you're there, you can ask questions of us right there as well, or just listen in. It's been a great week on the radio, filling in for Pete and filling in for me. Next week, surreal, man. A week from today will be the Big Daddy Woo Woo Show to end all shows. Peter Boyles, you go to that website at 710KNUS.com, get yourself a ticket, and we'll see you in Centennial at the View House. Until that time, you're listening to George Brockler right here on the Powerhouse, 710KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.